If you remember last week, we used the picture of the Energizer Bunny. Do you remember what we were talking about? The Energizer Bunny just keeps going and going and going. Probably one of the most successful advertising campaigns in the history of mankind, most likely. Because when you see that Energizer Bunny, you think of going and going and going. You think of something that is persevering, right? Today we continue in our series through the book of Philippians. We will be looking at other places, but really the springboard for the message is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Before I read that, I found a few expressions really about perseverance that I think is very, very important, or at least a bit catchy. You know the word triumph? Triumph is just umph added to try. Did you catch that? Some of you are going, huh? You know, maybe I need to write the word out. I'll say it again. Triumph, triumph, to be victorious, is just umph added to try. An old Danish fur trapper's principle, according to Eric Severide, says this: the next mile is the only one a person really has to make. Think about that. The next mile is the only one a person really has to make. Think about that. Talking about perseverance. And I like this one. You may have heard this before. Postage stamps are getting more expensive, but at least they have one quality that most of us could emulate or mock. They stick to one thing until they get there. We're talking about standing fast. We're talking about persevering. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, and then we're going to talk about it and springboard about some things and some areas that we should persevere in as a child of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. As I look at that, I'm not going to preach the complete message I did last week, but it says therefore, so you look back at what it was there for, and the idea is based upon the verses that precede that. He says, since our citizenship is in heaven, we talked about that, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon based upon those two things, based upon the third thing that we're going to get a brand new body, and based upon the fact that God is all powerful. Therefore, it says, do this. And what it says is, so stand fast in the Lord. But in the verses or in the words, that is, between therefore and so stand fast in the Lord, he calls them my brethren. What does that tell us? Talking to Christians, right? We use that term brethren and sistern or sisters to say we're part of the family of God. Isn't that special? Isn't that supposed to be special? I've heard some of your very lips, you say things like, you know what? I am so thankful for my church family. We're closer as a church family than what I am to my own biological family. And Paul says, I'm writing to you. This is the most personal of all of his letters. He says, you are my brethren. He says, dearly beloved. And he uses that word twice, or that phrase. Dearly beloved or beloved. And he says it again, my dearly. You know what he's saying? I really, really, really love you, Philippians. I love everybody in the church. Do you remember how the church started? The Philippian jailer got saved and his family got saved. Lydia, I remember a seller of purple there at the riverbank, got saved and her family got saved. And then she started hosting the missionaries, and that's probably where the local church met. Now, we're not for definite on that, but it makes really good sense to me that they started meeting in Lydia's home. And it says, you're my brethren. We're part of the same family. I love you dearly, dearly beloved. And it says, and long for. You know, Paul didn't know whether he was going to live or die. He was under house arrest. But he's saying, you know what? I really, really, really want to see you again. Have you ever missed a loved one so much that you really, really, really want to see them? I have. And long for. Then it says, my joy. My joy. Now remember back in chapter 1 what Paul says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Boy. You know, so when he thought of the Philippian church, it wasn't like, well, you got this one and that one causing trouble, and this one here that doesn't like anything, and this one who's always negative, and this one here who... No, he said, when I think of the church, guess what? I think of joy. I think of thanking God, and he did. And then he goes on. Now, we preached all these words last week, but I'm just hitting them today. And it says, my joy and crown. Do you think Paul was really in the right way proud of the Philippian church? Absolutely. He was proud of them. He was proud of the way they were serving God. And then he says, so stand fast in the Lord. So stand fast in the Lord. Now you say, what does it mean? What does it mean? Now we're going to practice an amen or something, okay? Because you're so quiet. I remember going to a church. It was a town church that I just visited, just went to, because that wasn't my home church. But we went down there for different reasons. And sitting in that chair, I was afraid to sneeze or cough or make any noise. And it was almost that quiet just a minute ago. Okay? So we're not in that church, okay? We're not in that quiet church. Amens are welcome. Amens are welcome. It means it's the same as saying sick 'em to a dog. Whenever you say that to the preacher, it's like, yeah, you know, and really, there's a place for it. You know what amen means, don't you? So be it. I agree with that. And if you don't agree with anything, well, you disagree with the Bible. So every once in a while, you ought to say amen, right? All right, let's practice that. One, two, three.
Amen.
Okay, that was a B minus. Okay, let's try again. One, two, three.
Amen.
Okay, good. That's better. That's better. That's an A. I'll give you an A on that one. But what does it mean to so stand fast in the Lord? Well, it means to persevere. It means to persevere in our walk with the Lord. And we find in Scripture several places that exact Greek word, stand fast, is used. One of them is here, and we're going to use that as a springboard, and we looked at it last week in particular. It says here, the phraseology is such, so stand fast, or persevere, or keep going, it says, in the Lord. If you think about it, what exactly does that mean? As we talked about last Sunday morning, it means to stand fast in the Lord's strength. In the Lord's strength. You know, the only way that you and I can persevere in our walk with God is because of God's strength. You know, if you figured out in your brain that you know enough to keep yourself persevering in your walk with God, you are sadly mistaken. Do you hear me? You cannot stand in your own strength. You can't even stand apart from God. We have to rely upon Him every day. There was a song a few years back, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And in the Christian life, how in the world do we expect to persevere without leaning upon the Lord? I guarantee you that if it wasn't for the Lord's strength, I wouldn't still be serving the Lord. Because we have bad days, we have bad months, we have bad years, we have bad situations, we have bad relationships, we have bad illnesses. But I'm thankful that what keeps me going is the Lord's strength, and that's it. So stand fast in the Lord, it says. I think that means stand fast in the Lord's strength. But also I believe it means stand fast in the Lord's service. Stand fast in the Lord also could mean stand fast in the Lord's service. Everybody here, I encourage you. We had a Sunday school lesson. We've been in a sermon series, lesson series that is, for Sunday school on, so why should the kids have all of the fun Old Testament Bible stories? So we're using Old Testament Bible stories in Sunday school. And we've been looking at David and Goliath. And the last couple lessons is run your race. Run your race. Don't be looking at everybody else. I know some Christians that want to look at everybody else and see what they're doing and blame everything on everybody else. You need to look in the mirror, brothers and sisters. You need to look in the mirror and say, am I running my race? Because no one is going to answer for you. You are going to answer for you. Do you hear me? And if you're not right with God when you meet him at the judgment seat of Christ, there's a problem there. Now listen. Run your race. You say, what that's got to do with the be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord's service. You see, you need to get in the race if you're not. Too many Christians are just sitting back watching everybody else race. Wow, look at that race. And normally I found that spectators are horrible armchair quarterbacks. They are. You know, we can sit in our recliner and watch football and watch WVU, and there's plenty to complain about. But we're like, you know, they ought to be doing that, and they ought to be doing that. You know what we need to do? As Christians, instead of being armchair quarterbacks, we need to get in the race. Because, again, I'm not going to answer for you. You're not going to answer for me. I'm not going to answer for John. John's not going to answer for me. So what we need to do is be strong in the Lord's service. Service. You know, we have opportunities in our church to serve. Now, you have opportunities every minute of every day that you're awake. You go to the store. You have the opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, don't be one of those customers. Be one of those customers that love the Lord and shares the joy of the Lord and is a witness for the Lord. You know, be strong in the Lord's service. And then we have things like Fall Festival. Boy. Again, attaboy. I'd pat you, each one of you on the back that helped last week. You know, when you do those things, like fall festivals and Easter egg hunt and outreaches and things that we do, the fireworks thing or the Christmas parade or any, that's opportunities for us to persevere in the Lord's service. You know, don't sit back and say, well, I think they should have done this. I think they ought to have done this different. Well, then show up and show us how we ought to do it. Seriously. Right? Be strong in the Lord's strength. Be strong or steadfast in the Lord's service. We looked at those last week. Now we're moving on to brand new material. Again, we're looking at standing fast or persevering. So not only are we supposed to stand fast in the Lord, we're supposed to stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, watch ye, in other words, keep your eyes open, be alert, stand fast in the faith. That's the same Greek word used in Philippians chapter 4. So the idea is to persevere. Stand fast in the Lord. Quit you like men. Act like men and women who know how to act. If we know Jesus, we ought to know how to act, right? Y'all agree with that? Quit you like men. Be strong. And it goes on in verse 14. Let all your things be done with what? Charity. Ask yourself, is everything I'm doing in life right now bathed in charity and love for other people? If not, you need to add a dose of charity, right? Now, what does it say, or what does it mean when it says stand fast in the faith? You know what it means? It means what we've been taught. What is in the Word of God? What does the Word of God say? Do you know what you and I should stand on? You ought not give any care for somebody's opinion. But what we ought to care about is the Word of God. Because God has a view. God has, if you will, an opinion. And it's important that you get a hold of that. It's important that I get a hold of that. And I stand fast and persevere in what God has taught me from the Word of God, and what God clearly says in the Word. You know, a lot of people, they want to come up with 15 different arguments why this is so and this is true. You know, my argument is, that's what the Word of God says. That's it. That's my argument. That's what the Word of God says. And it's amazing, we want to get a hold, as Christians, we want to grab a hold of certain things in the Bible, but some of the others, we want to just kind of tear them out. And I'm going to hold on to this one, but I don't know about, you know, every single part of this book is the Word of God. You know, I mean, seriously, you think about this for a minute. Do we have the right to break out our scissors, our self-righteous scissors, and cut out certain parts? But when we don't live and follow the whole book, that's exactly what we're doing. We are not living by the whole book. And when it says stand fast in the faith, it means standing fast in what the Word of God says. Because the faith is in this book. That tells us, how do we trust Jesus? It's right here. Why did Jesus come? It's right here. Did he conquer death? Absolutely, it's right here. Everything that we need to believe in is in this book. And we need to persevere. And I know some people are like, oh, well, you know, sure, we're Christians, we'll persevere. I tell you what, you go around to a lot of churches and you'll find that they're not persevering in the faith. Maybe at one time they stood and said, this is clearly right and this is clearly wrong. And now they try to blur those distinctions. We have complete denominations who have abandoned the Word of God and said, you know what, well, we prefer to stick to popular opinion. And therefore, we're okay if you're a homosexual or if you're bisexual or if you're any one of those words you want to put in there. We're okay if you're living in an immoral relationship. We're okay. You can come and you can teach our Sunday school class. You can preach behind the pulpit. We're okay. They've abandoned. They've not stood fast in the faith. The Word of God, we need to take it serious. We take it way too flippant. I mean, it's as if God wrote those words, right? Because he did through men and said, put this down. So you and I need to get under the Word and say, that's what I'm going to do. And anytime you, listen to me, anytime we try to get out from God's power and do our own thing, we are in dangerous territory. You need, we need to stand fast in the faith. There's another verse that mentions this. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. Again, the same Greek word there, stand fast. But here again it says, stand fast in the faith. It says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast. In what? And hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, when this was written by Paul to the Thessalonian church, they did not have the completed Word of God. So he says, whether you've been taught this by word or whether by a letter that I've written, but you don't have the whole Word of God yet, you need to hold to what the Word of God says. Stand fast. You see it right there? Persevere. And again, sometimes we want to pick and choose. We want to say, you know what? And then we go through something and we don't really like what the Word of God says about my behavior. So we just kind of ignore that. That's not persevering in the Word of God. You know, and to persevere in the Word of God, we pretty much better know what the Word of God says, right? So that's why we have Sunday school and preaching and our Word of God and devotions at home. And that's why we pray to the Lord. That's why we have Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. We have these things so we can know what the Word of God says. So when the world says, oh, you bunch of lunatic Christians, you far right wingers, we can say, you know why I stand where I do? It's because I'm standing fast in the faith. Man, if a lot of churches had got a hold of that. And we preachers aren't exempt from that either. I mean, there's been preachers that used to stand for the truth, and now they're nothing but spiritual weenies. They're just bending and flexing and say, you know what, I'll do whatever it takes to be popular. I'll do whatever it takes to build a church. I'll do whatever it takes. But they've abandoned the faith. They've abandoned the truths of God's word. Do you know do you have any idea how much we should appreciate the word of God? Seriously. I mean, God didn't have to give us an owner's manual. God didn't have to give us what to believe. God didn't have to tell us how to live our lives. God didn't have to give us a book in conjunction with the Holy Spirit that can give me direction in life. But God did. I mean, just think about it. The world says, oh, there's about a gazillion gray areas. The Word of God says, uh-uh. It's black or white. It's right or wrong. That's what the Word of God says. I am thankful for the Word of God. I am thankful that I have the Word. Most of us have several Bibles at home. Right? How much do you pull out that Bible to read what the Bible says? You know, really, it's all about a relationship. You know, if you have a one-sided relationship, you know, what if, just think about you and your spouse. Just think about that for a moment. What if you did all the talking and the spouse never responded? Wouldn't be much. Now, I know, men, some of you can't get a word in edge. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really say that, did I? But what if you were in a relationship like that and one of you did all the talking? It wouldn't be a really rich relationship, would it? Do you know if we abandon the Word of God, that's exactly the relationship that we are in? Because we are talking to God in prayer. I guarantee you we won't give that up. Because I have problems I need God to work in. And whoa, I just got a big, big batch of news that wasn't good at work. And I think I might lose my job because they're cutting back. Or whoa, so I'm not going to give up my side of the conversation. And we go to God and too often treat him like a heavenly bellhop. God, I'm in trouble. I need you. That's a one-way relationship. You're basically talking to the Lord, but guess where he talks to us? In the Word of God. When we open the Bible and we let the Holy Spirit speak to us, so the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write the book, don't you think? So the Holy Spirit ought to be able to tell us what it means and apply it to our hearts and lives, don't you think? So a one-way relationship is one where we just pray to God and ask for this and ask for that and ask for this and ask for that. Two-way relationship is when I talk to him, and it's okay to ask him for things. But I talk to God, I commune with God. I say, God, things like this, God, I really don't understand this, but you're a big God and you're going to handle it anyway. God, I do have this problem. I ask you to take care of it. That's me talking to God. And when I open up the Bible, again, it's about relationship. It's not checking a box. It's not saying, well, the preacher said I should do this. No, it's saying I want a relationship with God. And it will be a rich relationship when it's a two-way relationship where you are talking to God and you're letting God talk to you through the Word of God. And when you know what the Word of God and you're having a steady daily dose of what's in the Word of God, guess what? You're a whole lot more likely to persevere in the faith, to stand fast in the faith, to stand firm on what you believe. Again, I really believe a lot of times we as Christians, we sit there and just like, oh, it never happened to me. That could never happen to me. That's one of the most dangerous places to be, is saying that could never happen to me. I would never stray from the faith. I would never stray from what the Word of God says. But I'm looking around, I see old rotten sinners. You're looking, you're seeing an old rotten sinner that's been saved by grace. So we're all capable. Pride goeth before a fall, right? So don't say it couldn't happen to me, it couldn't happen to me. We need to make sure that we take the Word of God seriously. We need to make sure that we get in that close walk with God. I guarantee you, if you talk to Him in prayer and you let Him talk to you from the Word of God, you will be a better child of God, a better servant of the Lord having done so. And you're much more likely to be able to persevere or stand fast in the faith. I even remember some people I went to seminary with when I got my Master of Divinity. They're not still standing to the stuff. I mean, just a little bit out of seminary. I mean, my seminary was very solid, very biblical, very conservative. But guess what? It's a choice that we make. Am I going to stand fast in the faith? You know, it's important that we persevere. It's important that we stand fast. We're looking, stand fast or persevere. Five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Number one, last week, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in His strength. Stand fast in His service. Today we've looked at stand fast in the faith. Again, the way we stand fast in the faith is by knowing what the Word of God says. The way that we stand fast is make sure that we make the commitment to stand firm or stand fast on what God has told me from His Word. And you know, you've had the benefit. If you've been brought up in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God, you've had the benefit of sitting under preachers and teachers that expound and explain the Word of God. I'm thankful for my home church. I'm thankful for Hopewell Baptist Church. I'm thankful for those pastors that were there, and they were solid, and they stood fast on the Word of God in the faith. So we have the benefit of even that. We can look at other people and say, I've been taught right. I know what the Word of God says. But will you stand fast in the Word of God? Now, this world is not getting any better. Y'all agree with that? We may have had a little bit of reprieve, if you will, politically in our country right now, and more optimism from the Christian perspective because we have an administration that recognizes the place of faith, you know, and supports our religious liberties and everything. But guess what? That one thing I've learned, a president only serves 4 years. And we can pray that the best Christian that ever walked this earth is our next president, but who in the world knows, right? God. So when things get tough and when the pressure is applied and when you're kind of seeming out of step with the world and maybe numbers dwindle because you're standing on the truth, what will you do? Will you stand fast in the faith? Now, I know some people, oh, preacher, if my life is on the line, I will definitely stand fast. I will give my life for Jesus. You know, you really don't know that. I appreciate the optimism that you would do that. But really, what would you do? If it cost you your life, would you stand fast in the faith? Would you stand fast on Jesus? It's a question for each one of us to consider. Stand fast in the faith. Persevere in the faith. Bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, if you would. Let me ask you the question again that I just asked. Will you stand fast or persevere in the faith? Now, that is really a decision. Let me ask you, right now in your heart, will you make the decision to stand fast in the faith, to stand fast in the Word of God, regardless of what the world may do? Even if you're the last person standing on the Word of God, will you make the decision right now to say, Lord, I will stand on the Word. Stand fast or persevere in the faith. Will you make that decision? And will would you follow that up right now with a prayer to God in your heart? Something to this effect. Lord, help me. Help me to stand fast in the faith. Help me to persevere in the Word of God, in the truths of God's Word. Would you ask the Lord to help you with that? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Let me ask you, how many of you before God, as a testimony before God right now, made the decision that you will stand fast in the Word of God? And you ask God to help you. How many of you? Raise your hand up real high. I will stand fast in the Word of God. I will stand fast in the Word of God. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. You can put them down. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to treasure the Word of God more. And Lord, not rely upon my Sunday school teacher or my preacher or my relative who really knows the Bible, but Lord, help us to really know the Bible as well. And Lord, help each one of us to stand fast in the Word of God. We thank you for the hands, the multiple hands across this church that said, I'm going to stand fast in the Word of God. Lord, help us. Give us the strength to do so in this ever-changing, wicked, evil world. Lord, even if no one else supports us, Lord, help us to stand fast in the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you're sitting there, we're going to sing a song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And really, that's what we're doing when we're standing in the faith, right? Standing fast in the faith. We're leaning upon the Lord. We're leaning upon His Word. If you're here today or you're listening in and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's no better place, there's no better time than right now to trust Jesus as your Savior. Remember last week, Ren came forward and made his public profession of faith. Now, he'd done that before, but as far as trusting the Lord, but he made it public last Sunday. Yesterday at the memorial service, celebration of life, again, I asked how many had prayed to receive Jesus. Probably a good 10 hands shot up. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Are you sure that you're saved? Believe me, if you're not sure you're saved, there's a pretty good chance you're not saved. So as I stand down front as we sing this Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, why don't you come forward and say, Preacher, I want to nail it down. I want to know that I'm saved. If you're listening in, wherever you might be in your favorite recliner, wherever you might be, guess what? You can call out to the Lord right where you're at. The important part is to mean it from your heart, mean it from all that you are, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins. I confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that, you can be saved wherever you are. As we sing this song, you respond as God. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, God, help me to spend more time in the Bible. Help this not to be a one-way relationship. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, help me to stand strong in the faith at work. Lord, help me to stand strong in my faith at school. However God is leading.